Lily.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the living God, to our God, a great God of mercy and kindness, and who still puts us on the throne, and he looks to his children that he have redeemed through Jesus Christ. Today is the day that we just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we just give God the praise, God all the praise. So tonight is our night. We have this young lady coming on with us, Prophetess Valerie Harris, is our first host. Are you there, Sister Harris?
Yes, sir, I am. Good evening, Pastor Hunter. How are you this evening?
Oh, hearing your voice, I'm blessed.
That's wonderful. And good evening to everyone who's listening. Let me just open up in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful day, God. I thank you for the friends that we have on this line, Lord. I thank you for all who tune in to listen and to gather together, Lord God, that we can commune together and learn together and grow together, Lord. I pray that you bless us on tonight, Lord. Bless everyone listening, Lord God, and bless their families. Bless Pastor Hunter in such a wonderful way, God, that he brings this opportunity to us, that gives me an opportunity to just share my heart. And God, I thank you for all that you're doing, for who you are, for you are sovereign, and we love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If it's okay, I would like to dedicate this time to a special friend of mine. She passed away this past week. Her name was Karen Hadnott, and she's the sister of Pastor Gary Edison, where I attend church with Master Builders Church. Uh-huh. So I'm praying for the comfort of their family, but I just want to celebrate her life as I share scriptures with you, because she was such a wonderful person, and I'm so honored to have been able to call her my friend. I'm reading from Proverbs 18:24, and in 18:24 it states that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I read that scripture, it reminds me of how close Jesus sticks to us. But it also tells us that if we're going to have friends, that we must first show ourselves friendly. Sister had not lived that scripture to the hilt, because she always came in with a smile, never said anything that was negative about a person. She was always able to lift you up in your spirit with her smile and her kind words.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Proverbs 17:17, it says that a friend love at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. We have people who we have relationship with through blood, being born in the same family.
Uh-huh.
And one thing about the, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
One thing about having a family is that when you're in trouble, they tend to rally together around you.
Yes.
Whether they like it or not, you know, we can tend to disagree about a lot of things. But a true friend, it can be a brother,
mm-hmm.
but a friend will love you on your best days, and a friend will love you on your worst days. Sometimes we may be caught up with the burdens of life, and sometimes, you know, doing the work of the Lord, you're helping so many people, and you may be hurting yourself. But if you have a friend who is truly a friend, you can call on that friend and you can just vent so to speak, and bare your heart, bare your soul. Sometimes people tend to, you know, when you're doing good works, they tend to like raise you up on the pedestal and they look at you as if you can do no wrong. But when they find out the human part of you, and if you do one thing wrong, they tend to hold that against you. But a friend knows how to love you through your hurt, love you through your wounds. They never put you down. They're there to listen. But then they also will speak the truth to you and build you back up in love. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, wounds of an enemy are deceitful. A friend, a true friend, is faithful to the very end. They accept you for who you are, but they also will tell you the truth in love to get you to be, to come out of whatever slumber state you in and to make you a better person. A friend will talk to you for hours upon hours upon hours. And when you're in trouble, they show up. You can call somebody in your family that may not show up because they know you. They know everything about you, at least they think they do. But a friend, no matter how much trouble you're in, will show up to help you out. A friend will give you their last dime in the middle of the night to bring you comfort. I love John 14:12 when Jesus is at the table with his disciples, right before he goes to the garden where he's arrested by the soldiers, and he's sitting there having this conversation with those who have been following him, who've been serving with him for the past 3 years, and he gives them a commandment: if you love one another as I have loved you. I'm sorry. He says, this is my commandment. Jesus makes a commandment to them. He says, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love can no man have than he would lay down his life for his friends. That's a powerful state. Greater love can no man have than he would lay down his life for his friend. That means that if you're my friend, there's no sacrifice too great for me than to love my friend and to lay my life down for a friend. I had this occasion where my sister was dying of cancer, and we were fighting for her to live. And from the time that she found out that she had this battle with cancer, I was there. I was a Sunday school teacher at the time, and I was dedicated to the church. And her daughter, who lived with her, had to work, and I wasn't working at the time. But I was with her every day. And I was on my way to visit her one day, and I was asking God about that because I was my first service is to God, and I didn't know what to do. And I asked him, I said, God, what should I do in this situation with my sister? Because I was teaching Sunday school, I was taking care of my home, and that scripture came up in my spirit: no greater love than a man can have than he lay down his life
for his strength. So for the whole next year, I turned away from my Sunday school class. I put that aside. My family, my husband, my children, they barely saw me for a whole year because I was faithful to take her to her doctor's appointment, faithful to cook her meals, faithful to spend time with her. And even though she was facing cancer and she was sick, we had the most wonderful time. And I have the most wonderful memory of me being there with her, serving her. She had never, you know, the women in my family, I can say, are truly strong, dependent about doing things for themselves and doing things for others. But we tend to neglect ourselves, and she had never, ever experienced anybody serving her the way God allowed me to serve her. At first, she kind of rejected it because she didn't know how to handle that, you know, somebody doing something for her. And then it came a point where she embraced it, and she looked forward to it. And if I wasn't there, she was calling me on my phone. But there's such joy, such a reward in serving others. And then Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You are my friend. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servant. For the servant know not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Message out talking about my earthly friend. But you don't know how to be a friend until you come in contact with the greatest friend of all. If you have the love of Jesus in your heart, it makes it easy to make that sacrifice for another friend. It makes it easy and compelling to not judge another person because of the things that you may know about them in the natural. But you can love people back to life. You can speak words of encouragement and build them up in love. Too many times life throws us so many curves that sometimes on our worst day, we want to give up. But a friend will love you back to life, nurture you back to life, give everything that they have for their friend. There's something special about a friend. And I'm so glad that I know that I have friends that God has put in my life. Sometimes we tend to acknowledge them. I'm sorry about that. A call came through and knocked me out for a minute. But sometimes we have friends in our life that are there simply because they are ordained by God to build us up, to root us on. The kind of friend that I had in Karen is that she would build me up and build others up. Never trying to be prideful or exert herself over anybody, but always building and encouraging and loving on people. Oh, she's going to be missed. But then there's another point here. Because when we let go of mortality, we take on immortality. So we don't have no need to grieve, but to celebrate. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you know God, there's an assurance that you will spend eternity with a loving Father, with his loving Son. And so Sister had not laid down her mortality. When we're born of the earth, we're born into iniquity. We're born into sin and we're shaping into iniquity. But when that body goes, there's nothing left but the spirit. Sometimes we make the mistake of trying to humanize God to bring him to our level in our thinking on the earthly plane. But God is spirit. And where there is spirit, there is life. We have a lot to look forward to. And then I was thinking about this song that was written long ago, back in 1855. And many of you may know it. And it says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All my sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we offer. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So I want to close with this. We have a friend. And his name is Jesus, who will bear our burden, lift our spirit, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, love us. But remember, he left us with a command. And he said that we should love one another as he had loved us. No greater love can a man have than he would lay down his life for his friend. He laid down his life for us. And for that, we truly have a friend in Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for lifting up our heads. We thank you, Lord God, cover us and that you send to us a comforter who would be with us in time of sorrow and time of need. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who hears our prayer, who answers our prayer. What a privilege it is for us to take our needs and our burdens to the one who never turns us away, who listens to our griefs and our sorrows, who holds our tears, prayers within a jar. Oh, how wonderful is our Savior on tonight, and how grateful and loving our Heavenly Father is toward us. I bless each and every one of you in the name of our loving God and his Son, Jesus, the Christ, our friend. Amen.
Amen. Tonight, we just thank God. Amen, 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 and amen, and amen, and amen. Now, her name was again, Sister?
Karen Atnot. Was her name.
Miss Hadnot. We thank God for you taking the opportunity to come on this radio station and be bold enough to talk about your friend, who now sits in the heavens and watches what we're doing. She's in a place called there. There she's with God through Jesus Christ. And moreover, I just thank God tonight for those who are listening on the radio station, behind the radio station. So there are about two or three people on the line. Do you have any question you want to raise right now? A statement you want to say about Miss Hadnock? Anybody?
Praise the Lord. This is a Mother Esther. And I just want to say I thank God for Sister Hadnock. And I want her to know her tribute to her friend. It was like, not just to her friend, to all our friends who we miss so dearly that have gone on. And we miss them, but we know they're in that place called there. We know they're in a better place. And I wanted to tell Sister Hadnock, I could feel her love. I could feel that I would love her to be my friend because I have discernment. I know people when they are real. Because it's one thing about a friend and love, you can't fake it. You can't fake love and you can't fake a friendship. And so I could feel her spirit, and I want to encourage her to continue to present the way she did. And it really helped me because I have a lot of loved ones that's gone on, and I miss them. You know, mm-hmm. I miss them. You miss that little time of conversation with them. You know, and God has a way. Sometimes when you get ready to when you get ready to take a friend from you, sometimes he will even separate you for a while. You don't know why, but he'll separate you because he know he's taking that person home. So I want to say I was very encouraged tonight with her presentation and the words that were spoken from the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that she had to present it. And may God continue to bless you, Sister Hadnock, and I love you. God bless.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, I want to take the time out to thank Mrs. Harris, Prophetess Harris, and thank God for what God has done. My prayers are for Brother Gary and the whole family, for the family at the builders of the new church that they're getting ready to do. One thing I will say most of all, the words have been saying, to be separated from the body is to be present with the Lord. One day, it's going to come upon all of us. We're going to leave this physical plane and enter to a spiritual plane where God's going to be there. And that's where Jesus will meet us, glory to glory, glory to glory. And you know what? I'm going to leave the final words to Prophetess Valerie Harris. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Final words,
Final words.
Oh.
You know, sometimes we don't often, you know, when I was thinking about Sister Hadnock and thinking about my friends, I was thinking mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, they know that we love them, and we know that they love us.
Right.
But we need to take time to just really every now and again just let them know what they mean to mm-hmm. us.
Amen.
Amen.
Just one of those spontaneous thank yous.
Yeah. To you, I don't know how I got it off track. But sister, what's your name?
My name is Harris.
I really was speaking about you, and I had it mixed up, but I was giving you the honor of the presentation, how you did for your friend, Sister Hadnock. So I wanted to correct my saying because I just had your names mixed up. But I just wanted to let you know you did a great job in showing your love for your friend.
But you know, when you called me Sister Hadnock, I had a smile on my face. I didn't take it as a offense. I took it as a honor. because of the woman that she was. I didn't mind how she was my sister and my friend. And so,
God don't make no mistakes. Amen.
God don't make no mistakes. So you blessed me by calling me Sister Hadnot.
Oh, God is good. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
And that song, What a Friend. You know, what if we could really understand that song, What a Friend. I mean, when you don't think you have nobody, you got a friend. Jesus is your friend. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bring all your burdens to him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, we just want everybody to hear. If you have a moment to stay with us on the line, we're going to go to the next person, and we're going to talk about something that's going to bless us and bring us to a point of understanding, and that is Miss Reverend Arroyo Princess Love. And tonight, we talked about this earlier because we've been teaching, talking about the one of the books that take us to the next level. And I believe we were talking about, if you got your Bible right quick, go to Galatians chapter 3. And I want to show you some what God has shown me, and we're going to start talking. And we'll invite everybody and want to come in and have something to see. Are you there?
Amen. I'm here.
I want to make this profound statement. A lot of folks, and it took me a time to digest this, to chew it back up, to digest this. I knew it, but it was hard to accept. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it gets hard for us to accept something. Now, I'm going to say this, turn the program with us. Gentiles were never under the curse of the law, because they were never cursed under the law. Is that a devil statement? Or what is it saying? You got it, sister. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening. Can y'all hear me good? Because my phone is acting up. It goes in. It goes out. It does all kind of crazy things. So if you can't understand me, please interrupt at any time, because I don't know. The devil is a liar, but we let us pray. Almighty Father God, Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we exalt you. We enter into your gates with praise and thanksgiving, magnifying, glorifying, and exalting you and you and you alone, Abba. Abba, Father, we thank you for the privilege to say, Abba, for the glorious privilege to be in your presence, to have you inside of us, Abba. We thank you. We thank you for forgiveness of all of our past, present, and future sins. We thank you for that precious, precious blood that was shed on Calvary over 2,018 years ago, all for us, and the fact, Lord, we thank you that when he was hanging on the cross, that he had us on his mind. That is the most, God Almighty, that is just too glorious to imagine. Our little minds, our little bodies, our little peanut brains could not even begin to contemplate what greatness you had in store for us, that we today should be called the sons of God. That is a privilege and an honor that only you could give. And we thank you for that privilege, that honor, that we now are royal priests and have entered around your throne. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to the blood sacrifice. We don't have to cut a pure spotless lamb. We don't have to be a rope tied around us to go into the most holy of holies. We thank you, Lord.
We thank you. We don't even understand half the time what we're going through because we don't understand where you brought us from. We take it so for granted. Most High God, we thank you that it is really finished, that you have finished. The word in Hebrew says the works were finished before the foundation of the world. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everybody on this line, everybody that's all over the world that love you with a pure heart, and all those that will love you and will come into the kingdom. Those in high authority, Father, though they might be mean and evil and ruling bad, your word in Romans chapter 1 tell us that you have put them in a place for your judgment, for to make judgments for them, Romans chapter 1. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the good leader, and we thank you for the bad leader. Because, Father, we don't want to be complacent, and we don't want to take nothing for granted. We want to always thank you for being our perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that you are God all by yourself. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, let the Holy Spirit take full control. Let him teach and instruct and give us all the wisdom and knowledge we need in your word, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Well, we are coming from Galatians, but I just wanted to give y'all a little history of Galatians. Galatians is a book in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It is the outline of it. It says it was about the salutation, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1:1 is the salutation. And Galatians, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse 3. Oh no, I left out a very important verse. It's a small verse. Verse 2, Galatians 1 and 2. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. This is what Paul was writing, this letter to the churches of Galatia. He had the authority. And if not from any human source or through any human agency, God commissioned him to the risen Lord, through Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us, listen to this, from this present evil age, according to the will of God, our Father. Verse 5, to whom be glory and ever, amen. That is a great salutation. Now, verse 6 began, I marvel. Paul is talking to the Galatians, and he had a right to talk to them. I marvel that you are turning away so soon. This is the New English Version. But the King James Version said that you are so soon, said that you are so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. See, they was choosing another gospel, which is not another. He's letting you know there is not another gospel. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But even, now this is very, very important. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which have preached, let him be accursed. Now, I would ask you to run reference on that verse 8. This is Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. And guess where that takes you? 1 Corinthians 16:22. I'm going to take you over there so you can understand what he's talking about. If anybody preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Paul gets very serious over here in Galatians. And so 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. Now, this is the New English Version, because in the other King James Version, it says Maranatha, which means the same thing, which is, this just left out the Greek word, Maranatha. That's 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. And in the, like I say, in the, if you got the other one, it say Maranatha till he come. That's what it means. Okay, that's verse 8. That was the reference on Galatians 1:8, and it took you to 1 Corinthians 16:22. Okay, verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say unto you, say again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. How many times was that now? In just chapter 1 alone, that's 3 telling you that they're going to be accursed. Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? Seek to please men. For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And that applies to us now, even to this day. If you're going to preach to please men, then you will cease to be the servant of Christ. Not only... But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. That was verse 11. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I want y'all to make good note of that. This is still Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at nobody else. This is, Paul is telling you plainly who this is coming from. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted, Paul is telling you what he's confessing now, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. He's telling you, he's confessing. Verse 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, this is who it pleased. And I want y'all to take note of how many times pleased God. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Now remember that. Remember, there was not only the 12 apostles before Paul, but there was 70 also. So 70 and 12, that's 82?
82 plus one.
And one of them was the devil, okay? We know for sure one of them was the devil. apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus, verse 18. Then after 3 years, y'all, see, we complain about some stuff, but Paul was over here 3 years. Listen to this. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. This is very... Verse 1. Afterwards, I went into region, Syria and Cilicia. Verse 22. Unknown by faith to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Now, this is very important, too, because they didn't know. They knew him by reputation, but they had not seen him, okay? Some of these people in Judea. But they were hearing, he formerly persecuted us, now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Very, very important. And they glorify God in me. That we do, when you see the Holy Spirit and the anointing, we don't want to give praise to man, but we know it be God. Now, verse chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false, listen to this, he's telling you. You see, he said not even Titus was compelled to be circumcised. Now he's going to get, this is very important you understand chapters 1 and 2. To get to chapter 3. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And if we would run reference on 2:3, you would see it takes you, my Bible don't have no reference for verse 3. But verse 4, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty. And I want y'all to make note of that word liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. Now, do you understand that? When anybody wants to embark on your liberty, they want to put you in bondage. And we should be in bondage to no man, no one, but Christ. We are slaves to God. We are in bondage to God. But this is trying to get you separated from the law, okay? This is where it's going. It's not by verse 5. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, now this is Paul, listen at this, verse 6, whether they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. This is like I say, this is the Spirit-filled Bible reading to y'all from, okay? Those who seem to be something and nothing to me. See, I want y'all to get the picture. Paul was, he came in, as he says in another book, as one as born out of due season. You know, he wasn't with Christ. He didn't walk the earth with Christ those any of those years he was in the ministry. So it's hard. You can't imagine what kind of names and what kind of things they had to say about him to his face and behind his back. You know, here's one who used to persecute the Jews, and here he is running around here now. He done seen Christ. He say Christ struck him down on the road, and yet he want us to believe him that he got a special ministry. You got to understand how human nature is. And even if we had been living in that time, we would have found it hard to believe that God met this young man on the road to Damascus and blinded him and told him, you know, that he had chosen him to be a witness to the Gentiles. That would have been hard for us to even believe, because we knew that Christ, I mean, we would have been, you know. And even if we had been one of the 12, it still was hard to believe, because he's in us like that. Can't you hear him? Can't you hear them apostles? They would be asking, did he get you? Did he strike you on the road to Damascus, Brother Hunter? Brother Sister Esther, did he do that? Did he do that to you? Well, I've been walking with him 3 years. God didn't do that to me. You know, you can just hear him. But yet God did, the way we all came into God, it didn't happen the same way for none of us. Yet we've all tasted and seen that God is glorious, and we've all come to the glorious knowledge that Jesus is truly, absolutely, unequivocally, without any hesitation. You know, our president used the word that the Democrats are biased, but people use that word bias so fragrantly. Let me tell you, we as Christians, we are biased. We are even prejudiced to this fact. Listen, get me clear. I'm prejudiced to this fact that there is no other way. There is no other truth, and there is no other life. He is the only door. He is the only life, and he's the only way. That's it. It ain't no 50 million ways to Jesus Christ. It ain't no 50 million ways to God the Father. It's only one way. So if that makes me narrow-minded, biased, prejudiced, any evil word you want to use against me, then I'm guilty, 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 guilty. And guilty, pleasantly guilty. I glory in hell. Yes, not my way, not my thoughts, not my opinions, not my theories, not my theology. But the first book of 1 John say, any man who have not Christ, he has not God. Now, you know that entails a whole lot of stuff. But we Christians, we so busy tipping around, trying to be nice. And we do. If you want to believe in Allah and all them other gods, we welcome you to believe in them. That's your right. Because God himself gives you that liberty. And I want you to, I don't want to bang you across the head. I don't want to persuade you with my own beliefs. I just want to tell you what the Word of God says that's true, that there is no other way except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only atonement that has been made for us. He has forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future. And just, but let me finish up this Galatians right quick. Galatians chapter 2 for you right quick. I got just a few more minutes. So that you will know, let me see, is there any exactly what I was going verse by verse. Is there anything that I give to get you to? Because next week we really are going to start on Galatians 3. Now, when Peter had come to verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, this is Paul talking, I withstood him to his face because he was to blame. Paul didn't bite his tongue. And for those who don't think that there's been disputes, this is a big confrontation. This ain't only a dispute. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. This is talking about how Peter had showed himself to be a hypocrite. He used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, which were the Jews. Now, verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played a hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Whoa, boy, Paul ain't playing. That's Galatians 2:13. Read it for yourself. 14. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all. He didn't even take him to a side, y'all. He told him, he confronted them right head on. If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as a Jew? And y'all need to really study 2 Peter 2:14. That is very important. And let me give you some of the references for that. That's Galatians 1:6 and verses, and Galatians 2:5, 1 Timothy 5:20, Acts 10:26. Yeah, he confronted him, showing his hypocrisy. Now, 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Do y'all get that? This is what Pastor was telling y'all early. See, that's why you needed to know, too, before we go. Not sinners of the Gentiles. Because Gentiles, and yesterday we studied, we preached at the nursing home, Mark, about the woman who came to Jesus and asked him for a blessing for her child. And Jesus told her that his meat was for the children of Israel, but not for dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. Okay? Gentiles were considered dogs. Get yourself straight. Black, white, Chinese, European, any nationality but the Jews. Get it straight, y'all. That's why I preached a couple weeks ago about this Aryan blood. And Christians ain't telling the truth. There ain't no such thing as Aryan blood. I ain't got no pure blood. I'm a Native American, and we are the founders of, we come from the motherland. I'm sure Africa is the most powerful blood in the world. But ain't none of them no more powerful than the blood of Jesus. And none of them make you superior until you've been washed in that precious blood. Glory to God. That's why all them other bloods is a joke. They are a joke. Listen at this here. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. Verse 18. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through law died. Did y'all hear this? This is very, very, very important. I died to the law that I might live to God. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness came through the law, then Christ, get this, y'all, not my words, then Christ died in vain.
Right.
That is so very important. Study Galatians. It is the key to your eternal life. Believe me, if you don't know, if you're trying to attach the law to Christ's grace and mercy on this side, then Galatians chapter 3 going to tell you, you are cursed. You are cursed if you're trying to do that. You are cursed. So I don't want you to believe me. Study this, and next week when we come back on, please have your questions ready. But above all, if you don't believe, now here's what I do suggest for those people who don't know the Word of God and who don't believe everything that's written in the New Testament or in the Old. You know, because Christ is in every book of the Old Testament. Don't let nobody, it was foretold, that's why he kept telling the Jews, if you knew my Father, you would also know me. But because you did, they didn't even know his Father, so they couldn't know him. But they proved it by their silly conversation. And it's the same thing happening over here. We say we've been born again. We say we've been, it's 8 o'clock. My time is up. But study Galatians chapter 3 for next week, and then have your questions ready for me. God bless you. Love you. Almighty Father, bless every ear that heard, every heart that panteth after righteousness. And most of all, Father, give us a pure heart and let us love everyone, because we gotta love in order to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, I like to do a tap-tap on what she just said. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so the question is, a lot of churches and pastors are proclaiming that the churches teach us means Christ has redeemed us Gentile Christians from the curse of the law. That brings us to the blessings of Abraham. That's another big misunderstanding. But I want to understand this. When I began studying and I understood this, it blessed me so. He says, it's a simple reason that Gentiles were never under the law. The Gentiles were never under the law. You see, when we look at it, the Gentiles were never so much cursed by the law. It was the law itself that excluded the Gentile. So when she comes in next, oh my God, I'm getting happy already. Comes in next week, I got a lot of things I want to ask also. But tonight, we have another young lady. And I want somebody to understand there's a distinct difference between the Abrahamic covenant and the Messiah. Messiah covenant. And the lady from Dallas. Miss Dallas, are you on?
I'm on.
Hello. All right, you got it. Go ahead. Hello, go ahead.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. I am going to not be long, but I do have a message for this evening. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to be able to come, Father God, and to give a word, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you will speak through me, Father God, as I surrender myself to you in Jesus' name. I am going to come out of tonight out of the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 11th verse. And it says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was not to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to come, these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art a steward man that takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto them, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an steward man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I said unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and I slay them before me, and slay them before me. And tonight I just want to talk about a little bit about occupy till I come. And these four words really stand out, and they mean a lot even in today. What does it mean to occupy, and who was the nobleman talking to? What it means to occupy means to carry on, and the nobleman was talking to his servant. And this, how this relates today to Christians today, is the same as it is written here. Before Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, in Matthew 28:19-20, he gave his disciples a mandate to go teach and to baptize. And each disciple became obedient to the call until their death. Even today, that mandate still stands. In this passage of Scripture, each servant was given the same mandate or task. And even in this parable, each servant was given 1 pound each. Only 3 reported. It doesn't say what happened to the 7. But even with the 3 that reported, they were each given the same equal amount. In this passage of scripture, even today, as being Christians, Jesus has given us opportunity, he has given us time, and he has given us means to fulfill the task, the assignment, the call in which he has given each and every one of us. And in this passage of scripture, there are three things that I want to point out. If number one, we must be obedient to the call. Two, we must stop being distracted. And number three, we must focus on finishing. Each servant that was given a talent or a pound was obedient, except for the one that we read about. Each one of them was given a pound, and the task that was given to them, the task that was given to each one, you know, was to go out and to take care of the business of the nobleman, and they were to go about they were supposed to go about and bring about an increase concerning what they were given, the task that they were given. And as we read, the two that were that went out and was able to increase, one increased, one gained 10, the other one gained 5. So even in today, each Christian is given a task, is given an assignment by Christ, and we must fulfill that assignment that was given to us. We have to be obedient to the call. Whatever that call is that Christ has called us to, we have to find ourselves to be obedient to the call, because we have to give an accountability to that call. God wants a return on what he has given to us. So when we go and stand before the Father on judgment, he wants to know, you know, he already know what we're, what the return is, but we can't go before him with our hands empty. On the 17th of this month, I was talking to the Lord, and my mindset was asking him some questions, and the word finish came to me, because we are here to finish. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with the things of this world, but our main assignment is to finish. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He came, he did what he was supposed to do, he fulfilled his call, and then he said that it was finished. The same with us as being Christians. We have been given a task to finish. And we have to put away distractions. We allow ourselves to be distracted more so by the things of this world. When it's time to pray, we allow ourselves to be distracted by other things. When it's time to read, we allow ourselves to be distracted. Whatever the assignment is, we allow ourselves to be distracted by going into a different direction. The phone may ring. We get up and we answer the phone instead of saying, "Okay, well, this is the Lord's time. I'm going to sit. I'm going to fulfill or do what I have been what I have commissioned myself to do, as far as spending time with the Lord, whether it's reading and studying the Word, or if it's being in prayer. Whatever you have set out for yourself to do in that day, but we allow ourselves to be distracted. When we're in church, we're picking up our phones, we're looking through our phones. We give ourselves over to distraction. Distraction is going to come, you know, distractions that we are not, that comes without us initiating or giving over to distraction. Something may happen, something may occur in that day that we have no control over, those type of distractions. But when we are in control of the distraction, we cause ourselves to flow in the way of distraction by doing other things. We have to, again, focus on finishing. Focus on finishing whatever it is that God has called us to do. I think that is key in living as a believer today. It's just focus on finishing whatever assignments that we have ourselves. A lot of times we say, okay, I'm going to begin to write a book. A lot of times we put it on the shelf. We have journals. We haven't finished. A lot of things that we have set out to do, we haven't focused on finishing. We have to focus on get it in our mindset that, hey, I'm here to focus on finishing what I have set out to do, what God has given me to do. Because when I go stand before God, I want to be able to say, I have finished. And even when it's time to leave this world, I have finished everything that I have been given to do. I have finished those things. So we have to just take those things that, like I said, that God has given us each task and be obedient. We have to find ourselves being obedient to our call. Again, we have to give an account to God. On finishing, I'm sorry, but again, we have to continue to do the work in which God has called us to do. We can't allow fear to guide us to do nothing. You had this one servant who was guided by fear because he was fearful, so he did nothing. So a lot of times, you know, I can just to speak on myself. When I was going into another level in God, fear would come to keep me from going into that next level in God. So we can't allow fear to guide us, because fear will cause us to remain where we are, not progress any further. So we can't be guided by fear. Because God hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but he's given us power, he's given us love, and he's given us a sound mind. So we cannot be guided by fear. We cannot allow fear to come. And we can't be focused on other people's assignment, what other people have been given to do. A lot of times we look at how another person may preach or how another person may teach. If we're a songstress, we're looking at how another person sings, and we measure sometimes our ability by the ability of another person. But we have to remember that God has given us, he has equipped us with what he has equipped us to do. And can't nobody do or fulfill what he has given us individually to do. If that was the case, then he would just go ahead on. Now, you don't fulfill it, now God will give assignments to another person. That's why we can't be guided by fear. We can't allow fear to hinder us or stop us or block us from doing what God has called us to do. And we have to remember that Luke 12:48 says, "For unto whomsoever much is given of him, shall be required, shall much be required." So we can't look at somebody that we think that is doing something great or something, gander. We can't look at what they're doing. We have to look at what we're doing, because God has given them that to do. So if God tells you just to lead that one sheep, lead that one sheep as if it was 1,000 sheep, because and you leading that one sheep, God will multiply that one sheep into 10 sheep. So we have to remain focused on finishing what God has called us to do. And tonight, I'm just grateful and thankful to God again for being able to share what was given unto me, but we have to remain focused on. Even in the scripture it says, occupy till I come. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. I know we've heard it from the time we were children that Jesus was coming back. But Jesus is coming back, and we have to be ready. You know, the passage of scripture that teaches, you know, that on the right hand, you know, Jesus is coming back, and he's going to separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat. The sheep will be on the right, and the goat will be on the left. So, therefore, which side do you want to be on? You want to be on the right, or you want to be on the left? So, whatever God, again, whatever God has given you to do, you have to do it until, you know, it is finished, you know. So, we have to take a stance and just occupy till he comes. This scripture reminds me of even being a little girl when my mother would go to the store and she would say, hey, you know, I'm going to the store, and before I come back, you know, I want the house clean. So that was my task, was to stay in the house and clean it until she came back. So I had to do that. That was still an example, occupy till I come. I had to make sure that that house was clean. I couldn't go outside. I couldn't do what I wanted to do, but I had to make sure that house was clean, because when she came back, that's what her expectation was, to expect that house to be clean. So whatever God has given you, whatever the task, whatever the assignment that God has given you, make sure that you are finishing each and every task that you're given. That is occupying till he comes. And I just want to thank everybody for listening.
Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Luke, my brother. John, my brother. Mark, my brother. Oh, my God. My God. Matthew, my brother. God has been speaking some words to us tonight. Oh, my God. Can you say amen, somebody? My God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. God has been so good to
amen.
Us. Amen. And so I will say this to us tonight. What we have heard tonight, our troughs are not filled, but our hearts are rejoicing continuously. And I will say this much. The more we stay in the presence of God, the more God will keep us where we are. So anybody have any words you want to say, a testimony of what God has done for you? We'll give that time. Amen. Before we turn it back to our speaker. Anybody? Well, I want to give it back to the speaker tonight, to Miss Dallas. I want to thank you. So can you close it out for this evening until next Monday night?
Amen. Father God, we come before your throne, and we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for the word that has went before, Father God, before us, Father God, tonight, Lord God. Father God, I pray, Father God, that word would go in, Father God, that it would take root, that it would grow, Father God. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for Dr. Hunter. Thank you for the opportunity that he has given those who come on the line, Father God, to be able to, Father God, teach and minister your word, Lord God. Father God, I pray for those that are sick, Father God, in their bodies, Father God, who are listening in, Father God. I pray that you stretch forth your hand and that you would heal today, Father God, that they may know that you are God and that you are a healer. Father God, we thank you and we bless your holy name until the next time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And everybody said amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.